1 o'clock hour here on a Victory Monday in Kansas City. Again, happy Veterans Day out there. Thank you to those that are currently serving, those that have served our country as well. Everybody feeling good today. Blocked field goal.
Can you, like, for Veterans Day, can we just, like, put the block field goal sound over, like, God bless America or something?
We could.
Make it super patriotic, Drew.
We could, Drew.
For, like, 1:30. Something like, you know.
We come up with what's trending at 1:30, so I can do that
now. Natural amounts of America.
What would be the best patriotic kind of song underneath?
Proud to be an American?
Leo Chanel's going up for a block.
I mean, sure.
What song do you want to pull?
By the way, I will say real quick. You pick a song or two. I will say, thinking of while we're on this
Born
theme,
in the USA.
No, I don't think you want to use that one.
It's not.
Yeah, that's why.
I understand. Yeah. The theming is wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about
that. That's what it was. Yeah.
Thinking of while we're on talking about appreciating the troops and everything. Yesterday, the flyover. Absolutely badass. Normally, I've told you that I'm only a B-2 stealth bomber flyover
you're very
guy.
Specific
and I say, give me the stealth every time. But the flyover, and I apologize, I don't remember exactly where they were out of. I'm assuming Whiteman, but I could be wrong. That's usually where the stealth is out of. But this was one of the, they had helicopters. And somebody that's in the armed forces can tell me, because I'm an idiot when it comes to this. I have no idea what the exact equipment was, but one of the, I'll say helicopter for my naive commentary on this, one of them looked like almost a giant drone. It was like almost just like hovering over Arrowhead, and we're in the press box, and so we're like eye level with the pilot. I mean, like, it was badass, and they just slowly, there was a helicopter, but there was, looked like a drone. I don't know. Someone that was there can tell me. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. It was one of the cooler flyovers I've seen at Arrowhead in a while. Big fan.
Okay.
Big fan.
Everybody loves a good flyover.
I do.
You let me know when you got that music ready, Drew. I got the player.
It is ready.
Okay, so I've got the Mitch Holtis call.
Okay.
Does that seem fair?
All right,
so fire up that music, and then I'll play the play behind it.
Stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt.
35-yard attempt, well within his range. 18 of 20 this season. His left, and one of those misses a 60-yarder to end the half. 35-yard attempt from the far hash. Dixon, the punter, will hold. Raboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated! The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal!
Mitch Holtis on the call. That was perfect. By the way, a lot of people texting in. V-22 Osprey out of Miramar, California. Got like 20 texts. Engines rotate to fly like a plane as well, but otherwise they have vertical takeoff. That's badass.
Cody, you're correct. I don't know if that could have been timed.
Could you?
That was great.
I got like stuck on pressing play and somehow it all just worked out. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It does kind of just look like a gigantic drone.
It does, but a vertical takeoff. And they kind of like hover, but they can also rotate the engines, I guess, and just fly like a normal plane. That's cool. Technology is badass.
You want to go up in a plane like that at the gym?
Oh, I would go in that thing in a heartbeat. Okay. That thing was cool.
I don't know. You hate heights and stuff.
Yeah, but that was cool. Anyway.
Would you get on like a Blue Angel?
Someone said, America! F yeah. What's that?
Would you get on like a Blue Angel?
No.
Oh, I'm getting that. I mean, I puke, but
no.
You or blackout?
The G-Force. Yeah, the G-Force to get me, but I'd get in. They invited me in. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean,
you fly a fighter jet and you let me in, I'm in.
Yeah.
When I was in Pensacola, obviously that's like the big Navy base down there. The Blue Angels are it's the home of the Blue Angels, and I didn't get to go, but a couple of my coworkers got to do it. They definitely blacked out. Yes, but you go through and you train and stuff like that too to try to get ready for it in a way.
Like for the whole day,
like the week.
Someone says that's the most the Osprey is the most dangerous aircraft in the military. Is that true? Why? Someone explain to me. So I'm not sure you want to get on that one, Gold. Huh? What makes it dangerous? Like the. Compared to, like, it seems like newer technology. I feel safer. At vertical takeoff, I feel like I can get out of the situation a lot better. Is it the vertical takeoff thing? What's the reason?
I don't know.
Anyway, someone says, I don't believe they've ever done a flyover with them.
Wow, look at this.
That's why
the AI overview from Google says, most consider the most dangerous, the V-22 Osprey or the F-35 Lightning, depending on a number of factors. Their apparently, the nickname of the Osprey is the Widowmaker due to its history of serious accidents and the deaths of 62 service members and civilians. Tex, I might be honest. Okay. That might not be the plane for you.
That vehicle has a bad track record? Is that what we're getting at?
I guess so, man.
It looked pretty badass flying across Arrowhead last night.
Probably wouldn't happen to you is the point, you know?
Thank you. Anyway, shout out to the veterans today. We'll get to the audio fun bag in a second. But Patrick Mahomes yesterday had a miss to Kelsey in the end zone, had the deep ball miss to Xavier Worthy. Those are facts. That happened. Considering the offensive line play we just discussed at left tackle and what he did to extend a few plays yet again, also did not throw an interception. This is now, 3 weeks ago, we said, hey, there's about to be a stretch of games where Mahomes has like 9 touchdowns and 1 pick.
He's at 6-1.
He's trending in that. This is the stretch. It's happening. He wasn't perfect yesterday. Nobody's saying he was, but I don't get the criticism necessarily. He had 2 misses that were big. But overall, this football team still had a couple of the Mahomes type of plays that you only get from Patrick Mahomes.
I wonder if the issue for fans, and I'll take your answers on this, 913-586-7965. Because, yeah, my opinion last night was until he missed the 2 plays in the fourth quarter where he missed Worthy on the sideline and then Travis Kelce in the back of the end zone on what would have put them ahead by at least 6 points there on the second to final drive before they got the kick blocked by Denver. Is that he played a perfect game. I mean, what do you want from him? He was being blitzed and hit on every conceivable throw because the offensive line was getting massacred during that time. So, like, I don't think that I needed some other explanation for what I was seeing out of Patrick Mahomes in that. What is it do you want to see more out of Patrick Mahomes? Because I think the number one answer when I ask that, 913-586-7965 is, they don't like that he's not been successful in the deep pass. For 2 consecutive years, the deep ball has evaded Patrick Mahomes on a regular basis. Not that he's completed 0, but that if you look at the history of this year, specifically with Xavier Worthy, by the way,
right,
it's a lot of misses. They are not in the same connection. We had people trying to blame Patrick Mahomes for what I thought was clearly Xavier Worthy's
fault. This week was definitely Mahomes' fault.
And I bet
Worthy's a little frustrated because he probably thinks, man, I should have like 3 or 4 more of these touchdowns. And my, you know, statistically, I'm sure his numbers would look a hell of a lot better. He'd have a couple 40-plus yard touchdowns. The benefit is it's still November, and you're still holding out hope that when it matters most in the playoffs or whatever, that they're going to connect. Hell, maybe this Sunday in Buffalo they connect on one. That's all that matters.
Like, if I go through the type of play, I feel like his play, since they had to make the complete adjustment to what he had done before, because wide receivers didn't exist. So the last 3 games, and he had DeAndre Hopkins, okay? For not even 3 games. He's had him for, 2.5 games, right? Because he barely played in the first game. 2.5 games since he got DeAndre Hopkins. 71.77% completion, which would be a career high, by the way. 819 yards. So, I mean, not 300 yards a game, but certainly nothing to scoff at during that time. 102 passer rating, 6 touchdowns, 1 interceptions. And he's been sacked 9 times during that run. The only problem is all of it's short, all of it's at or near the line of scrimmage, and nothing has been completed deep. But right now he can't throw anything deep if the offensive line can't protect
him. Yeah, it goes back to the trust. And by the way, who can blame him for not trusting the left side right now with what's gone on there, especially when Wanye was out, when he had Kingsley. I don't need to talk more about Kingsley. We already spent a good chunk of the show discussing him again. You guys obviously saw it yourself as well with what they've really got going on. Some of this is Mahomes is just graded on a different scale. He's caused this because he's been so damn
awesome.
Because
he's one of the single greatest quarterbacks to ever live.
His career. So he's just graded on a different scale. I also agree with the texter. We brought this up earlier, too, that we also live in a fantasy football world now. So a lot of players are judged unfairly based off of, he only got me 17 fantasy points versus 28. And I have no idea how many fantasy points he got yesterday. But my point is that is also true. That's factored in how people view. We live in a fantasy football grading scale world. Did he hit my over on my player prop bet? No, he must suck kind of stuff. That's where we're at too.
I saw people bashing Jaden Daniels yesterday for not getting them enough fantasy football points.
So that's also the reality of where we're at.
Like I understand that. Like over the past three games, including a 16-point effort yesterday, they're averaging 25 points a game. That would be good for 10th in the NFL. Like, some of this I understand is, do you want more? Sure. Sure. Of course you do. But if I gave you all the circumstances for any other quarterback in the NFL, and I told you they had a turnstile at left tackle, they've had offensive line problems to tackle. They are without their number one and number two wide receiver. They're without their number one running back. Like, what would you think would happen? What expectation did you glean from that? And so when I'm not kidding. I'm not like saying this to be hyperbolic. I am never saying that he's never made mistakes or missed throws. He definitely missed Worthy on the sideline. He definitely missed Travis Kelce on the final play they had on offense when he could have got him in the back of the end zone to make that thing higher. Not kidding. Up until that point, I thought, up until that missed throw by Worthy, I dead serious thought Patrick Mahomes was basically playing a perfect football game. Considering the circumstances in that game, I thought he played nearly perfect. He was hitting players in stride. He was hitting every throw. He was making some sacks turn into not sacks. He was converting long third downs. I didn't even know. I couldn't ask for anything more up until he missed the Worthy throw. I didn't think he had made a mistake. Like, and so, like, I'm surprised to find out that part of this is, like, he's not the same player today. When I'm like, I just don't think that's the case. I think that he's just a victim of some of his circumstances. And, yeah, I do think he's got to get better at the deep ball. I don't know how he does that in a regular season. He could throw some better deep balls. Not arguing that. That has definitively been his issue this year and was an issue last year. But maybe that, I don't know. I just feel like that'll come with time.
I'm not so sure that you can actually criticize him in the way that, Cody, you're saying people do until he has the full plate of wide receivers. Until if everybody's healthy and you have Rashee Rice and you have Hollywood Brown and you have if everybody's there and it's still going like this, then maybe there's more criticism that's there. But again, last year and this year, he hasn't had that and they've still been winning. So you're, like you said, you're a victim of the circumstances. You can only play so well and only rely on your team so much when they're as depleted as they are in certain areas.
Funny, this is like a great example of this. If you just want to say, like, hey, take away your Chiefs glasses because that's the team you watch. The exact same thing is happening to C.J. Stroud. He is being unfairly, I think, ridiculed in Houston. Now, last night's game is a particularly bad example because they blew it. But, he's been without Nico Collins. He's had other injuries at wide receiver, and his offensive line sinks. And, shocker, C.J. Stroud, who had the single greatest season a rookie quarterback has ever had in the NFL, looks a lot more human. Why? Why do you think that is?
Right, but
there
are
other circumstances. There
are, but that also speaks to, I still say to Mahomes, because Mahomes typically elevates. C.J. Stroud, I think, has failed to elevate guys around him. Yes, he's been hit with some circumstances. He hasn't elevated guys around him. The rest of his team haven't elevated their game, and that's why they're a 6-win team, not a 9-win football team.
Yeah, sure.
Not a 7-win football team. They should have won that game last night against Detroit. Your defense forces 5 interceptions. You got to find a way to make it happen. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like the Chiefs make it happen, whether it's a field goal block or otherwise. Thinking of that while we were talking here, the Chiefs sent out an email that tickets for potential postseason games set to go on sale Wednesday.
We're already looking ahead,
They're definitely going to go at least
single game tickets for a potential AFC wildcard home game will go on sale. Again, hopefully they don't have to worry about that because they have the number one seed. If the single game divisional and championship game tickets will go on sale at a later date. So don't worry about the wild card.
Damn, they got you for this week. Because if they beat the Buffalo, then why even spend money on wild card
tickets?
Correct.
If they're a one seed, you won't be going to a wild card game. All right, let's get to the audio fun bag from the weekend. I think this one's pretty simple this week. We got to run through some of these incredible calls of the field goal block, starting with the call you heard right here on 96.5 The Fan, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. You also hear Dane and Hughes chuckling in the background, which was so great. Here you go.
35-yard attempt, well within his range. 18 of 20 this season. His left, and one of those misses a 60-yarder in the half. 35-yard attempt from the far hash. Dixon, the punter, will hold. Raboni is the long snapper. Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated! The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt! Kansas City wins this game on a blocked field goal!
I mean, it's fun. Look, there's some other stuff we want to get to, but look, can we hear one more at least?
Kick to win it. Oh! Blocked! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!
Okay, and before we get to any other audio not related to the Chiefs, the Spanish call.
Se viene el bateador Lux de parte de los Broncos, el número 3. Se acomoda hacia adelante, la patada. ¡Eh! ¡Bloqueo! ¡El bloqueo, Jere! Se bloquea esta jugada. ¿Y Kansas City? ¡Kansas City se lleva la victoria del día de hoy! ¡Hay bloqueo! ¡Los Broncos la fallan! ¡Los Broncos no pueden hacerla! ¡Y los Kansas City Chiefs se llevan la victoria! ¡Cuando esperábamos un gol de campo!
I mean, that call's so good.
It is. There was also a game in Germany. I don't know if you knew that. Yesterday morning, were you up early?
Panthers, 8:30. Giants. Germany. Is that a war crime?
Look, I'm all about what? Sending our worst matchups.
Panthers, Giants.
I'm all about.
Dude, it was rough.
I'm all about sending our bad matchups.
Breaks the Geneva Convention.
To international markets. So, like, let them have the NFL. Give him the Panthers and the Giants. Well, Sean Hockley was the official. And this should be a new requirement if you want to officiate a game overseas. Listen to this.
Feststadt, Angriff.
Oh.
5 yards Strafen. It's by the center. It's third down.
Oh, look at Sean Hockley.
Here we go.
Showing up.
The fans there in Germany applauded him. He gave a false start call in Germany.
Hey,
look, if you're going to call a game as an official in another country, I think you should be required one call.
Just one call.
One call has to be in another language.
Did he have to hope that it was like, did he learn several calls or just the one?
I think it was just the one because this happened in the late first quarter. He knew at some point there was going to be a false start call. And sure. I think he had that line memorized.
Smart, smart. Speaking of Germany, Xavier Legette, who is the rookie wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, he was on social media trying German food. What makes this especially funny is his very deep Southern accent.
Do I need a cougar? Let me try. Okay. I like that one.
Do you have any food since you arrived?
I had some chicken wine in Julia. They had a little different taste to them. Like y'all use a different twang of barbecue stuff. But they right here, I like it right here.
He didn't even finish the word sauce. Barbecue sauce.
Well, that and a week ago, we had the...
it's a really good video.
Instead of asparagus, but it was... what was it? He was...
Oh, I can't remember what he pronounced to be at. What it didn't
I
sound
got
like
some of that asparagus or something.
Asparagus.
There.
Not even completing words.
He's a fan favorite. Him and Keon Coleman, man. Great personalities in the league right now. The Chiefs, of course, are potentially playing Keon Coleman on Sunday, depending on his availability.
Another fun one here on the audio fun bag is, you know what? Because I'm sure Broncos fans are kind of sick to their stomach today. We should have to play just to give them a quick reprieve. We'll play them other loser mentality from people who are upset. This is Utah's AD.
Yes.
After what he believed to be a questionable call, I think clearly on replay was the correct call, at the end of the BYU game, feeling his team was robbed. Listen to this excuse making.
This game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us. Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight.
He was almost
disgusted
going,
by the professionalism.
Kyle Whittingham threw his chair down after his presser.
He was almost going throwback Mark Mangino. You know what this is about. Dollar signs. That's right. BCS. That's what I was thought of immediately when I heard that audio.
I was excited to be in the Big 12. Not today.
Yeah. The call was what was appeared to be, you know, a game-clenching fourth down sack for Utah with about 130 to go. There was a penalty. The drive continues. BYU ends up winning the game. And, of course, BYU still is undefeated. They're now the favorite, and they have been the favorite to win the Big 12. And if the season were to end today, it would be BYU playing Colorado.
Yeah, just like we all had it before the season started. For the Big 12 title, BYU versus Colorado.
That's right.
The weekend almost went perfectly for K-State fans. It was almost there.
It was pretty close, though. I mean, you know, like not a perfect, but because they've got at least one of those opponents still left on their schedule, they got a chance.
Still need Colorado to lose the game.
I can't believe Colorado might end up in the Big 12 title game. Colorado? I did not see that coming.
It's one of the best stories in college football right now.
Honestly, yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's one of the three biggest ones.
It's weird. Last year, all the talk around them, the results weren't there. Now, nobody's talking about them enough, and they're actually performing at a very high level. It's kind of weird.
It's so much better.
It's overcorrected a little too much. Deion's doing a hell of a job this year. Last year, they were talking like they were going to win a national title, and they won four games or whatever it was. This year, they got a chance to play for a national title because if they get in the college football playoff, and yet nobody's talking about them.
If they
KU plays them in a couple weeks at Arrowhead. They just announced the start time, 2:30 on Big Fox.
It's going to be crazy. K-State fans are going to have to root for KU for KU in that game, I think.
There you go. There you go.
And shout out to KU.
That was KU against Iowa State. That was the KU team people thought they were going to be much of the year. It was.
Yeah, that looked like the 9-win Kansas team we were expecting to play in a good bowl game.
Yeah, thanks to the Iowa State fans that came down to the Kansas City area and spent money to watch their team lose. Appreciate that. Thank you.
They always travel.
They do.
A lot of them at Arrowhead.
That is the audio fun bag for the weekend. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, get you caught up on what's going on, a couple of visits for veteran players in the NFL. None to Kansas City today, but in Cincinnati and a few other markets, we'll get to that. And talk a little bit early on reaction to the Buffalo Bills and where things stand, knowing that this is a huge game week coming up.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Obviously, the Chiefs stay undefeated, 9-0 after the block field goal, a 16-14 win. We heard from Andy Reid a little bit earlier on today here on 96.5 The Fan. He mentioned in terms of heading into the Bills game, right now, early in the week, but Juju's closer to returning than guys like Charles Omenihu or Isaiah Pacheco. Other than that, said they got out of yesterday's game pretty healthy, which I found to be interesting only because Wani was listed questionable with a knee injury, came back in the game. So is he going to just fully practice all week, or will he be limited? That suddenly is the most important injury heading into.
It's 100% the most important injury.
Knowing what the backup is, which unfortunately right now is a rookie that looks every bit like a rookie.
Yeah, like a seventh round rookie who got thrown to it. It felt like the Super Bowl. Last night felt like the Bucs Super Bowl game, the way Mahomes was running around. They managed to get the win, but there was a lot of problems on that end. We'll see whether or not they address it. Andy Reid was 30 minutes late for his press conference today and did not. He said, "I will not say no," when asked about a veteran left tackle, although did cite that they're young and they will get better. Next up on What's Trending, the Bengals hosted Xavien Howard, the, not disgraced, currently in a little bit of legal trouble cornerback who's played in the league for a number of years on a visit earlier today. Although reports are he left without a deal, said they could not come to a financial agreement, and then he's going to continue to go back and work out looking for another opportunity. So is it about money, playing time?
Wants to be on a better team? I don't know.
Wants to be on a better team? I don't know what Xavien Howard's deal is. But reportedly will not sign a deal, even though Cincinnati offered him a contract. According to the reports, they did not offer a deal to Leonard Fournette, who was also on a visit there today. That's an interesting one. I'm not sure why Xavien Howard wouldn't want to sign a deal, seeing how he's just a free agent on the street on November 11th.
That is, who knows the exact circumstances.
Maybe not from league minimum. He thought he was worth more.
It's a bit odd, but as you said, it's November 11th, dude.
Take a deal. Take the check. It's a few $100,000. Take the deal.
And you're going to play. They have you play right away. So, yeah, that's surprising. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Appreciate you guys interacting with us, as always, on the text line, 913-586-7965. I saw that Leo Chanel, who, of course, came with a big block, it was already scheduled, so just props to Hy-Vee on timing. Sometimes timing is everything in life. And he's doing a meet and greet at Hy-Vee on 64th, North 60th, I think.
That's not terribly far from me, 10 minutes maybe.
North side of town, tomorrow night. At a Hy-Vee, I guess.
And they announced that before the game yesterday.
He's doing a meet and greet. Now, I don't know the details. You're going to have to look it up. It's not associated with us. But I was like, wow, talk about timing. They announced that early Sunday morning. So it was already scheduled. Now that meet and greet's going to be a little more popular. I don't know if that means he's doing autographs or not. I have no idea. You'd have to ask the folks at Hy-Vee.
All right. I want one favor. So let's just say, when they say meet and greet, typically it means he's not signing stuff.
Yeah.
Because then the obvious thing would be go get a high gloss version of the photo.
Give me a photo of that, and let's get a signature.
Yeah, why can I not think of his last name all of a sudden? Sam, who's the Chiefs photographer, the Royals photographer, Sam Shazam over on Twitter. If you want to see his work, he took the great photo you saw. Mm-hmm. on that end. You'd go get a high gloss version of that. You'd have them sign.
Of course.
If they're not doing autographs, I've got a great idea. It's just like a photo. It's a meet and greet. Get you, 11 of your, 10 of your buddies, and do yourselves a favor and have Leo Chenal do his reach over like he's blocking it, and the rest of you try to line up your bodies like you're everybody else on that play.
Nice, that would be cool.
Going for the block. That's an all-time photo.
It is.
Like the people who are reenacting like the Mets photo, right, as Hosmer slides in. Just get you and some of your buddies and have Leo Chenal play his part and everyone else in the photo be every other Chiefs defensive player.
Yeah, it's a hell of a shot. And it's definitely one of those, whether you're a Chiefs fan or obviously him himself, like you got, it's one of those where you,
Sam Lutz. I don't know, I couldn't think of his last name. It was driving me crazy.
You try to find a way to get that thing signed at some point.
No relation to Will Lutz, the kicker?
Not that I'm actually, wait, hadn't thought about that.
No.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
Yeah, Will Lutz has a personal photographer when he kicks.
Yeah. Just to see that thing get blocked.
Busted wide open for the Chiefs. Why do you have that saved in the system, Drew?
You said that earlier today.
You saved that? That's a drop.
You said that earlier today, and nobody caught it.
In fairness, it says Chiefs at the end. Context matters. Busted wide open for the Chiefs.
Correct. Well, in fairness,
the left side of the offensive line, it did. Did it not? Did the left side of that offensive line on the field goal unit?
I could have cut Chiefs out of it, but I made sure to keep it in.
Yeah, you should have probably.
What's bad is like the last like three drops I put in the system were not out of context.
No.
They were talking about exactly what
it doesn't even matter what you're packing. Yours is going to look like a thimble by comparison.
That's not even out of context. It's talking about exactly what you're
packing. Jones's goes to his kneecap.
Jeez.
All in a matter of 10 seconds.
Goodness. Man, oh man. Sometimes we,
we were talking about Chris Jones going full Monty on
busted wide open for the Chiefs. Thank you, Drew. Thank you for those. Appreciate that.
We need those.
I almost played that in the audio fun bag.
Mm-hmm. One day for the audio fun bag, we'll just go back through and do
just play drops.
Or we'll bring back Cody or Gold. And you know,
that
you
is
could
a listener favorite. It's been years since we've had it.
There have been, by the way, since we played on audio fun bag a few weeks ago, the Troy Aikman NFL mixdown, the compilation. Anytime
we can have our own version of that right now.
We have, anytime I've watched the Monday night games, there's a few more that you could add to the batch from.
Out of context football stuff like that always sounds bad.
Iron Eagles got one, I think, from a couple weeks ago, I remember. Yeah.
I mean, it, very easy to nitpick out of those and find some that are questionable at best, I would say.
We're going to have all week to talk about Chiefs-Bills. Huge game, massive number one seed implications. The Chiefs win, it kind of locks it up, in my opinion. If not, then game on for the number one seed the rest of the way. And so we'll have throughout the week to discuss specifics. We'll go out to Buffalo, I'm sure, and talk to some folks out there as everybody at the station will be gearing up for this big game Sunday afternoon. I saw the CBS crew is going to have their NFL Today show on site at Highmark Stadium there in Buffalo. So it is a huge, huge game. Just seeing where they're at now, quick glance at them. They get the 10-point win against the Colts yesterday. Joe Flacco throws three picks. Jonathan Taylor
kind
didn't run the ball.
Kind of gift-wrapped it for him, yeah.
Yeah, like Buffalo, I think, is clearly shown. They're the second-best team. They're right there in the AFC. They're the number two team in the AFC. In their opinion, of course, they've got a chance to prove they're the best team in the AFC if they beat Kansas City. Chiefs are underdogs. I love that spot. Anytime they're underdogs, they... Nope, it's not even like the fake underdog stuff. They literally are 1.5-point underdogs against Buffalo. And I kind of like that. But the most promising thing I saw from the Colts, if there was anything against Buffalo, was they were able to run the football. We know Kansas City struggled against Denver to do that. It's why their offense didn't move the ball as effectively, in my opinion. They should be able to run against Buffalo. And Jonathan Taylor is a great back. He had over 100 yards. But the Chiefs have shown that they typically can run the ball. That was a unique defensive front that they faced in Denver. I don't think many other units are going to be able to shut down the run the way the Broncos did.
No, probably not. But also, you know, I guess that's part of what exists sometimes with the way it works. But Denver's just a good defensive line. I watch Buffalo and I see a team that is doing a lot what Kansas City is. Do I think Buffalo is playing truly great football? I don't, Gold. I really don't. I think they're playing some pretty mediocre football, right? And I think sometimes, not all the time, but, you know, like against Miami, a not very good team, they played kind of mediocre. I thought yesterday against the Colts, I didn't watch them be like, wow, look at them go. But one thing stands out about the Bills every time they play, Josh Allen is a freak. He's a freak of nature. that throw he made before halftime to get them in field goal range when he's throwing, there's like 12 seconds left in the half and he's rolling all the way out to the right to the sideline and he whips it 50 yards downfield to hit the man in stride. That's what Josh Allen does great. And he does, unlike what you were talking about with like CJ Stroud, it doesn't really matter who they're missing offensively. He'll just throw the ball to Mac Hollins. He'll throw the ball to Curtis Samuel, who's not been good this year
at all.
He's
been awful.
He'll find Ty Johnson a couple of times. He'll find people to throw the football to. He made a couple of Josh Allen mistakes, which I would say is the one thing he has avoided for a majority of this year versus previous years where you're like, no, Josh, not that. Not in the red zone. No, man, don't do that. He's playing as good as he's ever played. He's got 17 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. He's got 2,300 yards passing. He can run. He can pass. He can do everything. They have fundamental flaws as a roster, similar to the Chiefs have fundamental flaws to their roster. It doesn't matter because Josh Allen is great. That's what I think of when I see the Bills. They're the two best teams in the AFC because they have the two best quarterbacks in the AFC.
And the regular season is where the Bills have gotten the Chiefs. So if we know it hasn't happened in the playoffs, it's been the regular season. You know, whether we want to go with the cliche, it's their Super Bowl or not, I don't know. But the Bills in the regular season, this is typically when they get the Chiefs, and then the postseason, a different story. So that, I guess I understand why the Chiefs are underdogs. I mean, I don't think Mahomes should ever be an underdog, frankly, in his prime. I just, especially on a team that is undefeated, that's wild. Like, on the road or not, I think that's kind of crazy that you can get Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs as an underdog when they're the undefeated team. Like, you know, if it was an Arrowhead, the Chiefs would be 1.5-point favorites. Again, we've talked about this at great length. No longer are home teams getting 3 points. So it's essentially right now the Chiefs is 1.5-point underdogs. They're basically saying it's a true pick 'em because it's now a 1-point something per for home home favorites now as far as advantage, I should say. So it's basically a pick 'em. They're saying it's a pick 'em. Now the line opened as the Bills, I think 2.5-point favorites, and it went down the opposite direction. And this is another one of those classic things we've talked about with Vegas and everything. Pros versus Joes kind of game. All the pros, I use air quotes, are on the Bills for this game. The public is going to be all over Kansas
What's
City.
Funny is, like, versus a majority of the time where pros are pros for a reason, pros have lost their ass
four straight weeks.
And have lost their ass betting against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Not just the last month. Betting against Gold, you can attribute to this. The last 3 years, I'm not sure pros have lost more money consistently than betting against Kansas City in those spots.
Last year in the playoffs was the prime example. Last year, I remember even our friends over at Circa, they were basically begging people to take money on the Chiefs. Remember AFC title game, the line kept going up and up towards the Ravens. They're like, what is going on? We all know the result. The Chiefs won outright.
That's so much professional money.
They needed money. And look, the pros can totally be wrong. What was it? Last night, I think it was a last night's game. There was one, maybe it was the Lions-Texans game, where pros were all on one side initially. And maybe it was the Texans. And I can't remember. Maybe I have my sides wrong. But point being, doesn't mean the pros can't be wrong. It's just that it's an interesting dynamic sometimes where the public thinks it's a sure thing. The first 4 or 5 weeks this year was brutal for the public.
Gold, for somebody who doesn't get into sports wagering, like they live in Missouri and they don't understand. They're saying, hey, how do we know the pros are betting against Kansas City?
So it's a fair point because this is a debate inside, not to get too nerdy, in the betting community. There's people that
I know
think the pros and publics are some people think it's fake. Like some people think that's something generated by the sports
like
book.
The moon.
Right. So there's some that say ignore betting splits, public splits. It doesn't matter. And there's some truth to that. A lot of it is you're relying on the books telling you the truth, honestly. Like their traders at the books will say, hey, we need blank to win to basically have a good day, or hey, we have respected bettors. Like Circa, for example, they know there's certain bettors versus Cody and I walking in the door and placing a bet. They're gonna respect more. They just are. It's the way this works. They're gonna be bettors that put down $100,000 on a game. Uh-huh. They know they're winning bettors. They value their bet more than Cody and I's bet. They don't, you know, if we're being real. And so they value what I mean by that is how they view their opinion. They think, oh man, if this guy who's typically hitting at 70% or 65% and he bets big money, if he's betting on this side, we value that more. We're like, okay, we got to take that seriously versus random guy that walks in and puts down $1,000.
Yeah. Anyway. We don't need 100,000 on just the other side. We need on the other. That stuff is like, they make those things relatively publicly available.
There's some people, I mean, I know our friend Nick Costos, who's kind of like the face of BetQL, and has been in the industry for a while, he would tell you, like, betting slips or betting public, like, that stuff doesn't matter. Like, ignore that. He would tell you, like, that just, that's BS. Doesn't matter.
Somebody just run that 913. You mean my $10 bet doesn't move lines?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it does not. Sorry.
We don't unit shame.
But not you moving lines. You want, that's right. We do not unit shame. You, whatever your unit size is, you just stick with it, you know?
You bet whatever you want. Mm. You were rubbing it in Dusty's face earlier. He was asking you some advice for some of the bets for the game tonight. And you said, well, I don't know if I'm going to bet it before the game. I might live bet it. And Dusty lives on the Missouri side. You know that.
Yeah.
You know he can live bet.
Yeah. He asked,
not yet. Not till next summer.
Yeah, he's like, what do you have on this Monday night football game? And I was like, honestly, haven't really looked at it. And it's true. I really haven't looked at tonight's game. And so I was like, oh, I might bet it live.
I'll let you know when I bet it live is what you should have said. I'll let you know.
And obviously Missouri, you can't do that yet. Eventually.
Next summer, they say, roughly.
Next
estimate.
Football season. Yep.
Is a quick end to the show, just as a perfect example of, like, how you could be run by a terrible organization. Two teams today essentially announced the things that we know what makes bad teams bad. The Colts, Shane Steichen has announced that Joe Flacco will continue to start for the Colts, even though he has been statistically, over the last three games, as bad as Anthony Richardson, a quarterback who at least they drafted in the top five of the NFL draft and have some incentive to make better. And at the same time, Matt Eberflew had to answer to the media why he was still going to start Caleb Williams. Just fire him. Only bad things can come from letting Matt Eberflew be the head coach for the rest of the season. He should have been fired before the season. The correct decision was to fire him before the season, get a new head coach, put places in things that help Caleb Williams be better right away. Teams are so bad at handling quarterbacks.
Yeah, but the thing to address. Like, why is that even a question?
It shouldn't be a question. Now, the McCaskey family that owns the Chicago Bears, I believe they're very similar to Jerry Jones in one fashion, which is they typically don't make in-season firings. I can't remember. I think there was a stat at one point. I don't know if the Bears have ever fired a coach in season. Maybe it's one time. They typically don't. So I don't think he's getting fired in season. We thought he was getting fired in season last year, and then they won a couple games, and it cost Ron Rivera, actually, in D.C. his job because of that game. I remember that fondly because I had the Bears in Survivor. Thank you very much, and they lost to the terrible. Anyway, all right. So point being...
Rough.
Yeah, point being... he's going to get fired at the end of the season, and they're going to hire Ben Johnson. I've been saying this since August. It's very easy to predict. That's where we're at. I'm sticking with it.
So just fire him now so you can at least, like, send some shady text to Ben Johnson through a, you know, through an agency or whatever, so you're not technically breaking the rules.
I do think
so that it's clear you're interested in Ben Johnson. Why wouldn't Ben Johnson should be interested in taking Caleb Williams unless he was completely not convinced he was the generational player most NFL scouts thought he was.
Yeah, I don't think the Lions are going to be able to hold on to their OC and DC again after another unbelievable season ahead for Detroit. I think their defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, is going to get a heavy defensive coordinator is going to get heavy coaching looks, and Ben Johnson as well. So Dan Campbell, this might be their last hurrah with everybody on board.
Does that mean that this is like their best shot?
Yes.
It just pure
Lions,
blank?
Absolutely.
This is it?
This is their best shot to get to the Super Bowl.
This is the best shot they've had maybe in their franchise's history, man.
Oh, no.
They're one of four franchises in the NFL who have never played in a Super Bowl. If there's a team played in a Super Bowl, if there's a team worthy of going all the way in, them.
Yeah, and they get Zadarius Smith, who didn't even play last night, be part of that team.
It'd be interesting to see, because I agree. I think it's their best shot, period, point blank, to win it. What happens after, I mean, where does the team look without Ben Johnson?
That'll be the big question heading into next season. Yeah, but I mean, Amon Ross St. Brown's still there. Montgomery Gibbs. Yeah. They'll have Aiden Hutchinson coming back eventually.
Campbell's
like
proven
they're not going to fall off a cliff, but it'll be an adjustment. Like, can Jared Goff continue? And I know some of you will be like, oh, he stinks. He threw five picks last night. He had four all year. He still has nine on the season. So, like, it's not
Jared. That might be the same as Mahomes.
All of a sudden, it's amazing how quickly Jared Goff's been actually playing great. Last night, he was awful, and they still found a way to win. It's similar to the Chiefs, where they make mistakes. Good teams can overcome them and win games. They won on the road when their quarterback threw five picks. There's something to be said for that.
It's almost like his brain broke in the middle of the game. What the hell was going on in that game? It was crazy.
Sam Darnold's been struggling too. I know the Vikings scraped by yesterday. Yeah, they're lucky by kicking field goals.
They're lucky Mac Jones was the quarterback of the Jags.
I knew the Vikings were struggling yesterday. The Vikings were playing at the same time as the Chiefs yesterday. And I knew the Vikings were struggling because, like, I had Twitter pulled up to send out some stuff during the game. And on the far right edge, it said, trending, J.J. McCarthy. And I'm like, the man's out for the year. What the hell is he trending for? I was like, damn, how many times did Viking fans say they can't wait for J.J. McCarthy? How bad is Darnold right now on the field?
Yeah, the ghosts was also trending in conjunction with Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. So,
yikes. Not good for how he season for how a season
we didn't even
started.
Get to Jerry Jones much today. Oh boy, tomorrow we have to talk about this whole sun thing in the stadium, because have you guys been following
it's
that at all?
I'm dying.
The Cowboys, dying. Of course, lost. They're terrible. They don't have a quarterback because Dak's on IR, and they're just a mess.
Yeah, we can talk about that tomorrow for sure.
And
it's fine.
Yesterday, CeeDee Lamb did not catch a touchdown pass, literally because the sun was in his eyes, and Jerry Jones refuses to put up curtains. And then he said, "What are we supposed to build a new stadium?" It's like, we know where the sun is at all times. Clearly not when you were building the damn stadium, you guys didn't. For when they have other events, they'll put the curtains up. Jerry Jones refuses to put the curtains up to block the sun temporarily, and it cost his team a touchdown yesterday. Idiotic. I mean, that sums up the whole franchise. Their owner would rather have the stadium look good than his team win a football game. Unbelievable.
Look good, play good, man.
Even if they did score that touchdown, though.
I know. They
Holy
got killed.
Crap.
They got
murdered yesterday.
I don't know what the hell took him so long to put Trey Lance.
Dak might be out for the year now and all that other stuff, too, with the surgery.
We discussed it. It's a nasty injury. He's got, like, the hamstring.
Off the bone?
It's off the bone. The meat's hanging off the bone, Drew.
That sounds painful.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
That sounds pretty awful.
Yeah. It's going to do it for us today. We're back at it tomorrow. We'll talk about Jerry Jones. Nate Taylor going to join us. Our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, going to join us. We might have to ask him about that Royals promo that's coming in 2025 with the Pasquatch chain that's going to be
out
there.
The city's going to be rocking them, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And we'll also discuss what Roger Goodell has in store for the future. But up next, we hand things off to our friends C-Dot and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.